Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is a pleasure, as always, to be in the studio, particularly as we make our way through the most magnificent of all sermons, the majestic Sermon on the Mount. Over the years on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I have been asked so many questions about this sermon, and it is an absolute pleasure to have these words impressed on our minds once again. During the last broadcast, I was talking about the subject of worry, where Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" And then he points us to the birds of the air. "They don't reap or sow or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." The bottom line, as we discussed last time, is that worry is the province of paganism. Pagans know nothing about God as our Father in heaven. They imagine that they have to provide for everything themselves. But disciples of Christ ought to know better than that. In the words of the fathers of the faith, pupils of Christ do not live on the same plane as pagans. They exist, as it were, on a higher plane, in a different world, an unseen world of angels and of miracles, a world that is not simply natural, but a world that in reality is supernatural. So we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then, well, then all these things will be given to us as well. Those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is the mark of all true disciples, will inevitably participate in God's blessings. This is about priority. When God's kingdom and his righteousness are preeminent in our lives, everything else will fall into place as well. So therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Truly, if tomorrow will worry about itself, we are then free from worry, both in the present and in the future. With our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, we can rest assured that every moment of our lives is under his sovereign care and control. Jesus is directing us to look toward heaven, secure in the faith that he will provide for all the exigencies that we face moment by moment. Well, again, so far we have covered the first two chapters of the Sermon on the Mount, but now I want to get into that final chapter of the most brilliant of all sermons, a chapter in which Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." This, I often think, must surely be the most popular verse in all of Scripture, even more popular than John 3:16. At least popular for skeptics. They bring it up over and over again. Do not judge. Well, Jesus here is not contradicting what he says elsewhere in the Bible. For example, what he says in John 7:24, where he tells us to judge.
But he is saying that when we do, we are to make a right judgment,
that we are to stop judging by mere appearances and judge rightly.
And of course, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians the precise same thing. He says that they are to judge those within the church who manifest wickedness rather than virtue formation. And of course, St. John instructs his hearers not to believe every spirit, but rather to test or to judge the spirits to see whether they are or are not from God. The point here is that we must never judge self-righteously or hypocritically. Rather, when we judge, we should do so rightly and do so righteously as well. And then our Lord says, why in the world are you looking at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and paying no attention whatsoever to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? This makes you a hypocrite. So Jesus says, you hypocrite. That's exactly what he calls those that do that. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So here Jesus is using a graphic illustration in order to warn you and I about inappropriate judgments. We tend to be gracious in our own judgments of ourselves and often do not afford other people that same graciousness, a graciousness that we would hope they would apply to us. How many times do we read about someone's indiscretions and immediately think the very worst? Moreover, we are often guilty of the same sins, the sins that we're judging others for. And that includes the sin of gossip. Thus, before we tell others what or what not to do, we should first look in the mirror and make sure that the mirror does not reflect the very sins that we're judging others of. Jesus immediately transitions from this remark to talking about dogs and hogs. He says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn around and tear you to pieces. According to the fathers of the church, dogs and pigs are emblematic of people so immersed in evil that they are virtually immune to changing their behavior. In other words, dogs and hogs represent the apex of uncleanness. And therefore, Jesus instructs his disciples not to communicate the great pearl of the faith, what's called the mysteries of the faith, holy things such as the Eucharist and the sacraments, to dogs and hogs. Not because the mysteries need protection, but rather because this protects the immoral and the impure from the consequences of holding such treasures in contempt. That's why we say in liturgy, wisdom, wisdom, guard the doors. Saint Ambrose saw Herod as emblematic of what Jesus had in mind when he referenced dogs and hogs. His silence in the face of such an evil human being was in reality an ultimate act of compassion, in that revealing divine mysteries in face of Herod's maniacal evil would have led to the consequence of heaping a condemnation upon condemnation, for Herod did not so much as attempt to understand Christ's words, nor recognize the immensity of his miracles. Well, when we continue, we're going to look at asking, seeking, and knocking. As always, I want to thank those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Your support of this ministry is touching the lives of many people around the world. So again, thanks for your faithful support, financially and prayerfully. We'll be right back, so please don't touch that dial.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians often encounter people who don't quite doubt the existence of God, they are just apathetic about Him. In the new book, Apatheism, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to faithfully display the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The Christian Research Journal is a subscription magazine that you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write for your copy at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. This is a magazine designed to equip you to exercise truth and to experience life. Also, we're continually putting up new content on the Bible Answer Man's YouTube channel, so check out our videos there. In addition to this, a reminder that I not only do a broadcast, I do a podcast. It's called Hank Unplugged, and you can hear the podcast wherever podcasts are heard, including at equip.org. Getting back to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus continues with these words, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For, says Jesus, everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. For which of you, if one of his children asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, will give them a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." It is easy to think that Jesus here is speaking exclusively about asking, seeking, and knocking for temporal needs. In reality, I think his focus is on knocking on the door of eternity, of entrance into the kingdom of heaven, of receiving the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, we have the assurance that those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness are not only going to attain entrance into the kingdom, but they're going to have all their lesser needs provided for as well. And if that's so, if we are recipients of God's lavish favor, then we must give as we have been given. We must do to others what we would have them do for us. I mean, we can think of it this way. What would we want someone to do for us if the shoe was on the other foot? St. Paul, he makes this plain, poignant, and profound when he says, "Whatever other commandments there may be, can all be summed up in one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, says St. Paul, love is the fulfillment of the law." Well, Jesus now gets into a passage that is oftentimes one of those passages that really stumble us. Because he starts to talk now about wide gates and narrow gates. Wide gates or avenues or highways are not gates on which we stumble, but narrow gates are gates that we think of as rutted gates, gates that might cause us to stumble. But in reality, the opposite is so. We are to enter through a narrow gate. The wide gate is the gate that causes stumbling. It's broad, but it is the road that leads to destruction. And then Jesus says, and this is a somber phrase, many enter through that wide gate. Small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life. And very few find it. The narrow portal, the narrow gate, is the gate that leads to Narnia. Many of you have read the Chronicles of Narnia. Maybe you've seen the film. Narnia leads to life that is life to the full. You find the wardrobe, and then you will find a portal into a world that is unimaginable. The wide gate leads to destruction. Its ways are the ways of death. Its ways are to remain a wretched flatlander, to think that the cosmos is all that is, all that ever was, all that ever will be. But the narrow gate, the gate that leads through the wardrobe into Narnia, is a gate that allows us to forever experience the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Those who find the wardrobe, those who find the narrow way, those who find the gate leading into eternity, well, they discover a mysterious world, a world that far exceeds the farthest stretches of our imagination. Through the wardrobe, we can experience God's unmediated presence. We can be joined to the Lord. We can become one spirit with Him. To find this gate is to peek through an earthly portal and see paradise reborn. To envision the unspoiled beauty of the Edenic garden turned eternal garden. It's a way of purging the toxins, a way of cleansing the lenses, a way of letting the shining begin. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the road that leads to destruction. The narrow gate is a wonderful gate. The narrow path is a wonderful path. The road is a road that is wandered on alongside of the Lord. It is a road in which we can experience life that is life more abundantly. We so often think about the wide road again as being a pleasant road. But it is consumed with the worries of this world. The narrow road is a road that is traversed with our Lord, who has every single detail of our lives under His sovereign control. It's a road on which we can rest assured that He cares about every detail of our lives. It's a road on which we do not have to worry. For our Lord says, do not worry, as we started this broadcast saying, because there's nothing in worry that will add a single solitary moment to our lives. We don't have to worry about today, and we don't have to worry about tomorrow, because our Lord is the one that orchestrates every moment of our lives. When we come back next time to this magnificent Sermon on the Mount, we're going to discuss a tree and its fruit. What Jesus says when he warns us to watch out for false prophets that come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious wolves. For, says Jesus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Once again, I want to thank all of you who make the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Hank Unplugged podcast, the Christian Research Journal, our 24/7 outreach is an ongoing reality. You are making a difference for time and for eternity. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.